Y'all take your Bible. First off, if you brought your Bible, hold it up. Let's see it. Okay, good. I'm glad to see those. Good. All right, take them and turn to
Matthew
2. It says Matthew 1. We're in Matthew 2. It's just the next page. Okay, Matthew chapter 2. Yeah, it says one up there. Ignore that. I don't know who made these PowerPoint slides up. I tell you what, they keep making mistakes. They're just sorry is what they are. Just sorry. Well, yeah, I continue to do that. I continue to prove to y'all that I ain't perfect. Nowhere near. All righty, Matthew chapter 2, what page are you on? I'm going to see if I can do this without spilling it all over the place. Much better. My throat is really dry. Dry. My throat's dry. So, alrighty. Let me mention a couple of things before we get started. I don't know. I'm pretty sure most of y'all have already heard. Carolyn Brown's sister passed away, and she called me Friday and told me about it and said she would sure appreciate the church's prayer for her and her family. And so we're going to pause in just a moment and do that. And I know all of you are aware of the tornadoes that took place this past week, just devastating tornadoes. And we want to pray for the folks as they recover from that. There's a lot of other things we need to be praying for. And so let's go ahead and spend just a moment in prayer, okay? Y'all bow your little heads and close your little eyes. Father, we come before you with some needs. And we're confident that you will meet these needs according to your will. We lift up Carolyn and her family, Lord, as they grieve the loss of Carolyn's sister. Lord, would you take care of them and would you hold them close during this time? Father, we pray for those who have suffered such great loss because of the tornadoes and storms. Lord, it's just hard to imagine that much destruction. So, Father, would you be with those who are suffering today? Lord, even those of us who are here today who are suffering, Lord, would you comfort as only you can? Father, would you be with those who are going to be rebuilding and recovering from those storms? Help them to be able to make it. And again, Lord, we're confident that you're going to meet these needs according to your will. Lord, I pray that you would meet those needs in such a way that you'd be able to receive glory. Help us today, Lord, to bring you glory. Help us as we look at your word and learn from your word, Lord, to take it and apply it to our lives. And Lord, help us to be more like you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty, Matthew chapter 2. We looked at this passage last Sunday night, so those of you who were here last Sunday night, it's going to sound a little familiar. Well, we read this passage pretty much every year around Christmas time anyway, so it should be familiar. Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 1 through 12. All right? You follow along in your Bible. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version today. Let's look at it. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judah, of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. And the people said, liar, liar, pants on fire, that sorry dog, that lion. Anyways, have you got it written in your Bible? How many of you got it written in your Bible? Write it in if you don't have it written in there, because he's telling a lie. Verse 9, when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with his mother, with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. May God bless the reading and teaching of his word today. There are many songs at Christmas that remind us that Christmas time is supposed to be happy. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We've got a song by Andy Williams.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer.
And then we've got good old Burl Ives.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas. And when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet.
And you got to have Nat King Cole.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Some of y'all are swooning right now.
Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir. And folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some.
And then how about some Frank Sinatra?
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh, dashing through the snow.
And you gotta have a little Bing Crosby tossed in there.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird. Here to stay is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along, walking in a winter wonderland. In the meadow we can build a snowman and pretend that he is Parson Brown.
Some of y'all have smiled more during those songs than you have all year long. It brings up such wonderful, wonderful memories. And we think about the fact that Christmas time is supposed to be this joyous, trouble-free, happy time of the year. But honestly, is that what you're experiencing this Christmas? Are you having the most joyous time of the year this Christmas? I think, it's supposed to be this nice, warm, fuzzy stuff around Christmas time, but I think if we were honest, we would probably say, no, that's not what my Christmas looks like this year. For some of you, personal problems are keeping you from experiencing the joy of the season. For others, you feel like it's one crisis after another crisis after another crisis, and it's just run all over you. And with such an avalanche of problems, it's hard to have a holly jolly Christmas. Some of you are busy working so hard that there's no time for sitting around roasting chestnuts over an open fire. Or maybe there isn't really anything wrong, but for some reason, you're just not enjoying Christmas. It's just not what it's supposed to be. It's not providing the emotional lift that you expected. In fact, if we're honest about it, truth of the matter is, it's almost depressing around Christmas time. The world doesn't look like a winter wonderland. It just looks like winter. Disillusionment and disappointment at Christmas is not an unusual thing. So if you're going through that, I don't want you to think that you're the only one in the world doing that, because it's not unusual. We get so hyped up with expectations about what we think Christmas is supposed to be that the real thing often doesn't measure up, and we're disappointed. It's kind of like watching a commercial on TV where they show this cheeseburger. And man, that thing looks so good. That cheese is just coming over the edge of the, and the meat fills up the bun. You know what I'm talking about? And it looks so good. So you go down to McDonald's and you order a quarter pounder with cheese. And it looks like they threw it together from across the room. Here's the meat, here's the cheese, here's the bun, you know. And it doesn't look anything like the picture. We watch TV. For those of you who are like my wife, you watch those Hallmark Christmas movies. I am ashamed to say I've seen all of them. When they come on, I know which one it is. And they all make Christmas look perfect. Perfect. It's just the snow falls at the right time. Perfect. You know, about 15, 20 minutes before the end, there's the misunderstanding. You know what I'm talking about? But listen, by 10 minutes or 7 minutes before the end of the movie, they got it all worked out. They're in love. They're going to live happily ever after. And we watch this stuff and we think, oh man, Christmas is supposed to be so good. But oftentimes it isn't. Oftentimes it's tough. It's nothing like a commercial on TV. We get disappointed pretty easily around Christmas. So let me ask you this. What can you do this Christmas to avoid this disillusionment, this disappointment? How can you improve your level of joy at Christmas? And I think the answer to those questions is found in the story of the Magi in Matthew chapter 2. The Magi were these wise men who came from the east. They saw the star that indicated the birth of a new king in Israel. And since they wanted to honor him with gifts, they set out on a journey following the star to find this newborn king. Now, how many of them were there?
We don't know.
Christmas cards always seem to show three. In our little manger scenes around the house at home, I think they got three. We have the VeggieTale manger scene at our house, little plastic figures, you know, Larry the cucumber, Bob the tomato. I think baby Jesus is missing, though. Is he still MIA, baby? Yeah, we don't know where he is. Probably some cat dragged him off somewhere and ate him. I don't know. But we don't have little baby Jesus in that. I guess he'll come later. But we get all this stuff together, and we look for Christmas to be perfect. And sometimes it's just not perfect. And that may be where your Christmas is today. But I think that there are three things we can learn from these wise guys who came from the East. I think there's three lessons that we can learn that we need to find, that there's questions that we need to find the right answers to. So here's question number one. What do you seek? What do you seek? I believe your level of joy at Christmas is directly related to what it is that you're seeking. Directly related. So ask yourself this question. What do I want to get out of Christmas? What am I looking for? What am I seeking at Christmas time? What is it that would make your Christmas wonderful and satisfying? How about snow? Okay, let's take a poll. How many of you want snow at Christmas? Raise your hand. All right, how many of you do not want snow at Christmas? Raise your hand. That's pretty equal. Let's just leave it up to God if we get snow or not. I know someone in my family that is praying hard for snow. Yeah, I know some of y'all are praying again her. But she's praying hard for snow. Maybe that would be what would make your Christmas wonderful and satisfying. Or how about all the family together and happy, getting along? Would that make your Christmas the most wonderful time of the year? How about a feeling that you define as the holiday spirit? Whatever that feeling is. How about finding the right present to give to somebody? Some of y'all searching. You got somebody on your Christmas list and you ain't got a clue what you're going to get them. But how about if you found just that perfect present? How about getting the present that you've been hoping for Christmas? I remember as a kid, we'd get the Sears Christmas catalog, the toy book. Man, me and my brother would go through that thing. We would earmark pages and circle stuff and all, and we wanted pretty much everything in the book that had to do with guys. We didn't want this dolls and all that stuff, but the guy stuff. And we had this big grand idea of what we wanted to get for Christmas. The problem with all of these things, you know, snow and family being happy and together and, you know, get the holiday spirit, finding that right present. The problem with all of these things is they can leave us disappointed. Even if we get snow. Can I get an amen? Okay, I heard that. Or we don't get snow. Can I get an amen? Okay, I heard that. Even if we get what we want, we can still exit out the holiday season, the Christmas season, disappointed. Have you ever had that kind of experience? You know, when you were disappointed by Christmas because it didn't deliver what you thought it would deliver? The problem isn't Christmas. The problem is our expectations. We're looking for the wrong thing. For the wrong thing. The Magi shows us how to increase our level of joy at Christmas by looking for the right thing. So what were they looking for? Look again at verse 2. It tells us what they're looking for. It says they came to Jerusalem and said, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." You see, they were looking for Jesus at Christmas. Well, wasn't called Christmas then. It was an opportunity for them to worship this newborn king. That's the right thing to be looking for. That's what we need to be looking for and expecting this Christmas. An experience of worship. A fresh glimpse of he who was born King of the Jews. If our goal is this at Christmas, to worship Jesus, then I doubt very seriously that we're going to be disappointed with what we experience. So what are you looking for? What do you seek at Christmas? Number two, where do you look? Where do you look? I think your level of joy at Christmas is directly related to where you look. If you're looking at Walmart for joy at Christmas, you ain't gonna find it there. Man, I hadn't been in, well, I guess we went, well, we go every day. Let me just be honest. It's pretty much every day. And the closer we get to Christmas, the busier that place gets. And you get in there with a bunch of people who have absolutely no patience or manners, for that matter. They're rude. They're pushing. Babies crying all over the place. Kids crying because they didn't get what they wanted to get. Mama's ignoring both of them. How do you go through Walmart with some kid pulling at you, crying because they want something, and be oblivious to what's going on? I tell you what, everybody else in the store ain't oblivious to what's going on. So if you're looking for fulfillment at Christmas, you ain't going to find it in the store. It's not going to happen. We learn from the Magi that there are wrong and right places to look for Christmas. They started by looking in the wrong place. They started by looking what their own human reasoning said they should look. The star indicated the birth of a new king in Israel. And the Magi went where kings should be born. They went to the palace of Herod the Great in the capital city of Jerusalem. Man, what a mistake that was. When Herod heard of the birth of a new king, he was intensely jealous and he sought to destroy this newborn king. When the Bible says that Herod was troubled and all Jerusalem with him, listen, when the king got troubled, heads would roll. All Jerusalem would be troubled too. He was intensely jealous. Now listen, we too are tempted to look for joy at Christmas in the wrong places. You know, they looked at the palace. That wasn't it. And we look at wrong places. We think by getting or giving the right gift that we're going to be satisfied. We imagine that being with family is going to be joyful. And it often is. But all these things can easily disappoint us. You may not be able to afford the right gift for a loved one. And that grieves your heart. Family members may be missing from your holiday celebration. This year, for a lot of people, Christmas is going to be different. It's going to be an empty place at the table. It's going to be different. If you're looking, though, for these things to bring you joy, you may be left with a feeling of disappointment. Now, the Magi started off looking in the wrong place, the palace. But then they looked in the right place when they looked to God. The trip to Jerusalem wasn't a total loss. While they were there, they discovered that they should have looked where they should have looked in the first place. the Bible, the Word of God. Go back to the prophets of the Old Testament is what they needed to do. The scribes in Jerusalem said that according to the prophet Micah, the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. So with this new information, they looked again at the star and they followed it to Bethlehem until it stood over the house where the child Jesus lived. But I often wonder if the scribes knew where the Messiah was going to be born, and they did. If they knew that, why didn't they have a station down there keeping an eye out for his birth? Why didn't they have an outpost out in Bethlehem keeping an eye out for the birth of the Messiah? You'd think they would have. They knew where he's going to be born. I think they got to the point where they just didn't care. They didn't care enough to check it out. They didn't care enough to be aware. They just didn't care. Third question. The second one, where do you look? First one is, what do you seek? The third question, what do you give? What do you give? I believe that your level of joy at Christmas is directly related to what you give. I know when we're kids, it's all about getting. Man, we couldn't wait on Christmas morning or wherever, whenever your parents said, you know, ready, set, go. We're going to tear into those packages. I remember as a kid, I don't have a lot of memories of a kid as a kid, but I got this one. We were living, Dad was stationed in Hawaii, so we were living in Hawaii. Which for a 6, 7 year old, ain't that big a deal. Hawaii is just another place. When you were a teenager in Hawaii, like my sister was, it was a big deal. It wasn't a big deal for me. But he wanted to get us, me and my brother, bowling balls for Christmas. And I don't know if you've ever bowled before, but you don't go out there with just a slick round ball to go bowling. They drill holes in it so you can stick your fingers in there. So we went to the shop there and they measured our little old hands and drilled holes in the balls and they fit just right. Little bag for the ball to go in. And put the ball in the bag, and my dad said this. Okay, on Christmas morning, act surprised. Okay, Dad. We come out on Christmas morning, there's a bowling bag out there. Oh, look at this. I never dreamed we'd. And of course the holes fit and the ball, and my mom was sitting there looking at my dad going, act surprised. Your level of joy at Christmas is directly related to not what you get. That's what kids think. But as mature believers, it's related to what you give. What you give. The Magi came to Jesus' house bearing gifts, not requests. It wasn't to climb up in Jesus' lap and tell him what they wanted for Christmas. They were bearing gifts. And the gifts they gave were entirely appropriate gifts. They gave gold. That's a gift for a king. By giving that, they acknowledged that who Jesus was, that he was the King of Kings. So they gave Jesus a gift fit for a king. They gave frankincense. This is a gift for a priest. This was incense that the priests used in the temple. And by giving that, they acknowledged that Jesus was a priest. He was the one who would bring us to God. Thirdly, they gave myrrh. This is a gift for the dead. This was a fragrant ointment used to anoint a body before burial. And by giving it, they acknowledged that Jesus had come to die for the sins of the world. These are perfectly appropriate gifts. We ought to give appropriate gifts this Christmas as well. And don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about material gifts so much. I'm talking about more important things. We ought to give the gift of our love and our kindness to our friends and our family. We ought to give the gift of our help to those who are hurting. We ought to give the gift of forgiveness to those who have hurt us. Man, that's easy to say, isn't it? It is so hard to do, to forgive those who have hurt us. Giving these kinds of gifts will result in a joyous and meaningful Christmas. Is that what we're looking for? A meaningful, joyous Christmas? What are you giving for Christmas this year? For some of us, the gift needs to be a gift of ourself. Give your time to your family. Give your compassion to the hurting. Give your forgiveness to those that have hurt us and needs our forgiveness. And mainly, give your heart to Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus. I promise you that when you look for the right thing, and you look in the right places, and you give the right gift, you will have joy at Christmas. As the old Cajun cook, I can't remember his name, he had a TV show and he'd cook, he'd say, I guarantee.
Justin Wilson.
I guarantee if you do these things, you will have joy at Christmas. I promise you. Because that's what we're looking for, is joy at Christmas. That's what all the songs say we're supposed to have. There are very few good, sad songs at Christmas. There are some sad songs. There's some stupid songs at Christmas. There's one about getting mama some shoes because she's fixing to die. And I got to get her these Christmas shoes. And I hear that song come on the radio. And you know what I do? Hit the button. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to be dragged down at Christmas. Who wrote that song? They need to be strung up. Oh, well, that's okay. I don't mind if Grandma got run over by a reindeer. I'm okay with that. Do what now? Yeah, it's funny. It's a funny song. Yeah, the last thing I want to do at Christmas is cry. That's it. We want joy. We want this to be the most wonderful time of the year. The happiest time of the year. And I promise you, if you bring the right thing, if you look at the right thing, the right place is the right gift, you're going to have joy at Christmas. But if you're looking somewhere else, if you're looking for somebody else to satisfy you at Christmas, you may not have any joy at all. It may be just another day. I don't want to have just another day. I want to have joy. Overflowing joy is what I'm looking for. Is that what you're looking for at Christmas? I think all of us, if we were honest, if we were really honest, we would say, yeah, but I'd like to have that thing, whatever it is, if we're really honest. But when we get right down to it, what we want is joy. Lasting joy is what we want. That's the kind of joy Jesus brings. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit, love. Joy. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Joy. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you. I really thank you, Lord, for Christmas time, where we focus in on the birth of our Savior. It's such a wonderful gift that you gave us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray this Christmas we'd have the right focus. Lord, it wouldn't be on stuff. It would be on you. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to have a wonderful Christmas time. As we lift up Jesus Christ and worship Him. And I pray in his name. Amen. This is one of those interesting sermons that I'm not really confident that I know how you need to respond. But I promise you, when the word of God is proclaimed, it's not going to come back to him void. It will accomplish the purpose that he has intended it for to accomplish. And I don't know what that purpose is in your life. But if that purpose is something I can help you with, I'm going to be standing down front like I always do. And I'm there to help you any way that I possibly can, to know Jesus or know him better. And there are others in this room who can do the very same thing. They can show you how you can give your life to Jesus Christ.